And good morning. Sitting in Harmony Hall today and looking all this at the decorations here, it makes one feel it's going to be quite a show tonight. I've been here before for Diwali and they put on something which is very, very special. But I think for most of us, the pinnacle of our year is to come to Madhuban. And the pinnacle of Madhuban is our meeting with Baba. Would you agree with that? And the other night was no exception. And I had the good fortune to start many years ago with Baba when the family was quite small. And in fact had the fortune to meet Baba when there was just a handful of Brahmins. And many times people say you must miss those days or perhaps those meetings were better. But I don't think so. I think the magic of the meeting with Baba is just the same now as it was then. And I think the other night I was feeling that the scenes of our meeting with Baba, they're like indelible scenes of the drama that are stamped in the memory track. And when we come into the Copper Age and the Iron Age, it's like these scenes are sort of indelibly stamped. And it's like we search to refine such an atmosphere of love, because I think the other night I felt there was just such an incredible atmosphere of love. And one of the things I love to do when I'm in the hall is to look at all the faces looking at Baba. Have you ever done that? I think that's one of the sweetest things to see. Because whether people are old or young, whether people are well or unwell, everyone looks like a child and everyone's face is just sparkling with purity and sparkling with joy and happiness. And do you remember at the end Baba was saying, "Oh, your smiles are so beautiful." Do you remember how Baba expressed that? It was something so special. But one of the things which I was feeling is that the whole atmosphere is just charged with the feeling that I belong to Baba and Baba belongs to me. And the thing that really, I think, touched me, and everything touches the soul, but what really touched me of this Muli was just how Baba was talking about becoming the angel and his language. I loved the language where Baba said, "I have to become an angel. There's no, I must make effort to become an angel. I should become an angel." Baba was so definite, "I have to become an angel." And he actually asked us to check against a certain criteria just to see how far I've really moved towards the destination, the aim of becoming the angel. And first of all, Baba was saying that an angel has no relationship with old sanskaras or the old world. The angel has no relationship with old sanskaras or the old world. And then Baba was saying that the angel is double light. And it's not that when we have a problem we make the effort to be double light. Baba was sort of saying that I'm constantly double light in thoughts, words, actions, relationships, connections. There's this wonderful lightness in the soul that just enables it to float beyond the influence of so many things. But then Baba was saying that the angel, and probably one of the sweetest qualifications of an angel is that the angel is loved by all. And yet one very interesting thing, which Baba often mentions, you know, as much as I'm loved by all, that's how much I'm detached. As much as I'm loved by all, that's how much I'm detached. But I think the thing that really set me thinking is that Baba was just saying that the angel is one that whoever comes in contact with the angel, whoever meets the angel, whoever looks at the angel, has this automatic, natural feeling that this one belongs to me. And I'm sure many of us have had that feeling about, you know, some of the daddies or some of the souls in the Brahman family, but that just the presence of the person without a word just evokes this feeling of belonging, connectedness, that we really have this wonderful sense of perhaps elevated, pure relationship. And this really touched me, just this whole sense of the need and the importance of belonging, and really the role of the angel to create that fragrance of belonging wherever we go. Because especially in the world today, just so divided, people don't feel they belong anywhere. When we create that vibration in the atmosphere, I think it really touches souls deeply. And I actually remember, you know, my early days, just before I became Baba's child. And I was actually, even though I'm from Australia, I was living in London at the time. And I have a clear memory of sitting in Regent's Park. Some of you may know Regent's Park. I was living just close to Regent's Park in London. And I remember one day sitting in Regent's Park for the whole day, and it's got a lovely little pond there with ducks on it and things. But quite frankly, I was quite lost. I felt quite lost. And in the sense that I was thinking about the past, thinking about the future, and nothing was very clear at all. And as I looked around at the world, it seemed like everyone else was as lost as me. It seemed like everyone was lost. But the big question really was, where do I really belong? Where does the soul really belong? And it was only a few weeks later that I went along to a talk at the Spiritualist Association of Great Britain that Sister Genty was giving. And it was an interesting thing, and I was mentioning it the other day. I was meeting a group from Latin, the Latin-speaking group, Spanish-speaking, that Daddy and Genty Ben used to give a talk there every week. And in those days, Daddy would never speak. It was only Genty Ben, and I was saying, can you believe that? That Daddy, she didn't speak much at all. She just sat there in yoga, and Genty Ben did all the talking, but she's definitely making up for it now. But it was amazing. Instantly, there was a sense of recognition, and there was a sense of familiarity. And I attended a few of those sessions, and then they kept inviting me to the center. So I went along to the center, and when I went, Sister Genty at that time was in Madhuban with the first group of foreigners. Brother Nick, who's now in South Africa, was one of them. And Sudesh Didi gave me the course. And what I really remember was, you know, listening to the knowledge, it felt so familiar. And I really loved the knowledge, but there was something deeper stirring in me. You know how sometimes your intellect works on one level, but the vibrations, I think, the atmosphere touches the dormant sanskaras in the soul. You know how the sanskaras are like dormant, and a vibration is like an energy that opens up a latent sanskara, a sanskara that's been asleep for a long time. And there was such a sense of familiarity, a sense that of belonging. It was such a wonderful feeling. And I was starting to feel like this is a place, like I'm coming home. And I can remember a few weeks later, I was attending the center of walking down the street in Tennyson Road. Just that was the world headquarters of the Brahma Kumaris in those days. And I was thinking about all the things that I was learning at the center, and I had this experience where time stopped, and it was like an eternal moment where I realized that I'd found Baba, that this was the love that the soul had searched for, and it was like I'd come home. I absolutely felt I was home, and this is where I really belonged. And that was just such a magical moment, because I think that probably the real magic of recognition of Baba, of recognition of God, is that I come home to where I really and truly should be. That is with Baba, and also the awareness of who I really am and my original state. And that sense of belonging, that sense of connectedness, I think is a huge relief for the soul. And I know it was for me. Because the more I go on in this life, just as Baba says that, like, peace is the original state of the soul, just in the same way, I think, just as strongly as peace is intrinsic to our true nature, I think belonging is too. It's essential for the human soul to feel that it belongs. And I think that when we feel we belong to Baba, we feel we come home. And quite frankly, there's no sense of security like the sense of this eternal belonging, which I think the soul has searched for such an incredibly long time. Because there was a point at the cycle where the soul moved away from its state of purity. And I think that disconnection from my original belonging was such a jarring thing to the soul that the soul began to search at that time and began to look for something which it had lost. And I think this search to belong is such a powerful search in the soul. And sometimes I think the soul just feels, I will never find it. I'll never come home to a feeling where I feel really comfortable and totally accepted. And so it's a very, I think, a very, very deep feeling in the soul. And I've read a little bit about of the work of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And I've always found some of her ideas very interesting. She's an American psychiatrist. And what I've learned from her is that she's a person who talks about grief, and she feels that so much grief is stored in the soul. And sometimes a little thing happens in my life and there's so much grief over a small loss. It's like we overreact to things and we feel so much sorrow and so much sense of loss. Because what she says is that, you know, when we lose something, it may be a job, it may be a possession, it may be a relationship, all this grief emerges. But she says the original grief, the original wound, was that at some point we moved away from this total relationship of love and belonging, this relationship with God. And when we lose anything, it reopens that wound and that hurt in the soul. And this is why sometimes I feel, especially when Avyak Bapdada comes, I feel that almost Baba's main intent is to make all of us feel we belong. You think about it, the way he praises us and he chats with us is like really trying to pull the soul back into that original feeling of belonging. Because the soul has felt so disconnected and sometimes so rejected that I think Baba makes so many efforts. And I remember a lot of my personal meetings with Baba, and I can just see how Baba loves to touch the soul with such love that it really pulls the heartstrings and, you know, reinvigorates that sense of belonging. And I remember once that I was in Madhavan, and it was in the early 1980s, and Baba had come and spoken the muli. He had had all the personal meetings, and we were all sitting in front of Baba, about to take leave. And, you know, all the feeding had happened, and you know how Daddyji and Nivebhai sit in front, this sort of thing. We're all sitting on the floor. And Baba started to give drishti. And then he stopped, and he said something to Muniben, and she went over and she got a big tin of toli, a whole tin of toli, great big katori of toli. And then he called me up and he gave me a whole tin of toli. How do you think I felt? I was just, actually, he said to me, share it with your friends. But I just felt so touched, and that instant sense of connected, even a deeper connectedness, that sense of belonging. Bubba's the master of reconnecting the heart to him, so we really feel I've come back to where I really and truly should be. And I remember in those days too, there was one sister who had met Bubba, and for some reason she wasn't happy about her meeting. And she was sitting right up in the back of the meditation hall, and once again Bubba picked up her vibration, and Bubba called her right to the front. And it's like Bubba knows that we come and we're a bit wounded, we carry many wounds, and sometimes just a little touch on the wound of not belonging or feeling rejected, and that just opens up something huge. And something had opened up in this sister, and it was so lovely to see how Bubba just sat with her, talked with her, just filled her, blessed her, until that was gone and her face was just radiating. It was just like a wonderful example of just seeing, you know, how Bubba was the master of really pulling those strings in the soul. But I love to sit and think about the cycle and the soul's journey around the cycle, because sometimes I think of the cycle as just sets of sanskaras. It's almost like laid in the soul are sets of sanskaras from the different periods of the cycle. We have the set from the golden age, the set from the copper age, the set just before this life, the Brahman set of sanskaras, even the set of sanskaras of the angel. Because when I visit the original set of sanskaras laid in the memory track of the soul, which is existing there now, there is some sanskaras of absolute, I would say, unity, the experience of total love, and the experience of complete belonging. The golden age is like a complete family. I absolutely belong to everyone and everyone belongs to me. Lakshmi and Narayana are like the parents, and this is the wonder of the kingdom. The kingdom is the perfect system because it's really just like an extended family. And we have those sanskaras within us. And this is why sometimes I think Brahmins are so idealistic about love, because we have in our memory track the experience of perfect love. It's so strongly there. And I have a memory, which I sometimes share, of one of the first times I came to Madhavan. And in those days, they sometimes used to take us up on the mountain, sometimes to Guru Shika. And we used to sort of dance around and do all this sort of thing. But they used to try and send us into trance so that, you know, it was the time, you know, in the late 70s, and a lot of the centers had a trance messenger. And I remember once we went up to Guru Shika and we were all sort of dancing around like fairies and deities, doing all these sorts of things. And one young brother, a double foreigner, went into trance, and he was away, away, away for half an hour. And when he came back, I just remember it so clearly that he just was describing, he said, "You can't imagine the atmosphere there. It's an atmosphere of absolute purity of love. You know, there's such," he said, "it's just, we can't imagine it whilst living in this world, because the vibrations are so different." And he was just, has tears streaming down his face. He was so emotional when he tasted the purity of relationships, which we know, and the whole sense of belonging of the golden age. Because if the soul, as the soul begins to journey forward and we come into the copper age, what begins to happen is that disconnection starts, and the sanskara of belonging becomes a little bit impure. It starts to become attachment. And this then really begins to cloud those feelings in the soul. And even I think sometimes the Rajo state of belonging is preference. You know that sort of state of mind where I say, "Well, I sort of prefer you to you. I like you more than you." this universal state of love and acceptance and belonging is now broken. And I start to have preference for this one. You know, I like you, but I don't like you. This starts to develop in my makeup. But even as we go further into the Iron Age, I think the sanskara of rejection even becomes quite strong. I even remember once Daddy Jenki saying that one of the most tamo-pradhan sanskaras in the human soul is to reject the other. And if you think about it, probably, I remember once in Australia we had a workshop at one of our retreat centers, and we were asking, you know, the thing that, the most difficult thing most people find. And you know, most people said it was rejection, to feel rejected. I think it's like, it just goes against the grain of the human soul. Not just not to be loved, but actually to be consciously opposed or rejected. And that's the atmosphere in which we live in this world. And sometimes in this very last few lives, I think the soul occasionally has felt so unloved or so rejected. And then, you know, we come to Baba and we find Baba and I feel I belong. And those, and I start to tap into those sanskaras of belonging, coming home, but still sitting beside them are the sanskaras of feeling disconnected, unloved, rejected, that I don't really belong. For some, they come to Baba easily and belong easily. For some, it takes years to have a sense that I really feel I'm at home here. And, you know, where does this really leave me at this time? Because what I've really seen that these, you know, we do carry these sanskaras of rejection. And the first form of rejection is of the self. You know, sometimes we have the habit to reject the self. And I remember I once attended a conference which I was an invited speaker, and it was put on by the Buddhists, and the theme was non-violence. And I was talking with a Buddhist monk. We had to have a dialogue together about non-violence. And we began to talk about what is the seed of violence in the world. What is the absolute seed? And we came to the conclusion, I don't know whether it's accurate, but what we came to the conclusion that day was that the first violence is to reject the self. And sometimes we do that if we have an impure thought, if we have a critical thought, if we have a negative thought or a bad feeling, almost instantly this energy to reject myself comes in. And that can be such a powerful force which sort of crushes myself. And that sometimes can be such a strong feeling. And yet, what I was beginning to feel is that sometimes it's easy to feel I can belong to Baba. Baba is so lovable. But to actually learn how to belong to my original self, to me, that's the key of change. Because many times we Brahmins, sometimes I think we make so much effort for spiritual progress, but we don't see the real results. Have you ever had that feeling that you invest a lot but don't see much result? Because I think we hold on to this present identity so strongly of what I am now and all the sanskaras I end up with at the end of the cycle. And yet, what Baba is teaching us to do is to begin to identify with the original self, because only then can I really feel a sense of belonging and a sense of love for myself. And I often remember a story which I think Anthony Phillips from Toronto shared once, that he was on a train in Canada in the middle of winter, and he said it was, you know, really cold and miserable, and people, you know, in the middle of winter, we all know what it's like, get a bit depressed. And he said that they stopped at a station and the door opened and a young mother hopped on with a newborn baby. And he just said it was amazing how just the presence of that child, just these long, hard, depressed-looking faces, just filled with warmth and love. Because I think no matter what stage we're in, when we see something or come in touch with something that's innocent, pure, authentic, it's so lovable. And I think that's the quest Baba gives us, is to find the part in the self, the original part, that is innocent, that is pure, that is authentic, and learn to love that, because then I begin to have a sense of belonging to who I really am. Otherwise, I'm still caught up in this game of rejection, you know, and putting myself down. Because I think to a certain extent, you know, I remember when I first started with Baba and saw how fragile sometimes self-respect can be in Brahman life, I remember thinking that, you know, what's really important is to maintain my sense of self in every scene of life. What will happen in Brahman life is that I will make mistakes, I will probably fail sometimes, and I will get criticized. But the important thing is that I don't let those things make me lose my self-respect. That to carry my sense of self into every scene, it's like I've got to nurture this sense of belonging to my original stage. Otherwise, so quickly, something negative happens, the feelings of rejection come in, and I lose all my inner strength once more. Because I do think there's a relationship. If I have the habit to reject the self, I do have it, in a sense, to reject others too. And I think that, you know, sometimes it's subtle. Our rejection can be so subtle. It mightn't be as gross as a sort of, I don't like you, want to be around you, but sometimes we do just by excluding, you know? Sometimes we just, you know, we invite a few and exclude a few. You know that sort of thing? I want to be with you, but I'm not so sure I want to be with you. Even that, even just not acknowledging some people, sometimes touches these feelings which are sitting below the surface in the soul. And there's no doubt that we've got to take ownership of these feelings and bring change in these feelings. But sometimes I think they're very strong. And even sometimes in old Brahmins, I think the Achilles heel is if when we're criticized, you know, or opposed, that sense of not belonging, the memories, the feelings of rejection can come up so quickly. And I think that we've got to be careful when we interact with others that, you know, I really create that vibration of giving respect and that vibration so the soul really feels it belongs. Because this was really what Baba was telling us, and probably the theme in the Mauli, which came back again and again, was that Baba was saying that we should be souls that everyone feels, you know, they belong to me. And I think that's just such a wonderful thing. But of course, I think it goes in stages from my experience. And I feel that when we take Brahman birth, there's a big shift. The first step in Brahman life is moving from body conscious to become a Brahman. And in a sense, our whole sense of identity has been based on this external image I've created for myself around the way I look, my status, my wealth, my position, my power, all that stuff. Actually, I find old souls always knew that was superficial, but we never really knew what to replace it with. And actually, it's a huge relief just to let go of that, become simple. And even if we're practicing Brahman life, you know, we're following principles, maybe we're still fluctuating a little bit. But then the second step is when I establish myself as a Brahman, and then I decide I want to become a serviceable instrument. So second step from a Brahman to really a serviceable soul. And what happens here, I think, is a really interesting thing, that I decide that I love Baba, and so what does Baba love? Baba loves the task of world change. I want to help Baba in his task. So I start to become tireless and committed to Baba's task. And it's wonderful. I'm giving everything I can. But you know what can happen? Subtly, I rebuild that sort of external structure. Perhaps we could call it the ego structure in my Brahman life. It's not gross like it was before, but it's actually something subtle. And what begins to happen is that all the I's and my's, which Baba started to talk about, I start to get my sense of identity from my role and my responsibilities and, you know, my this and my that. And actually, after a while, I'm Baba's child, I'm doing service, I'm responsible, but actually I feel quite heavy. You know how Baba was saying that because the more we hold on to this, the more we have to defend it and protect it, and we feel quite heavy. We build up this whole network of I and my, and suddenly the soul feels that actually I'm not full of joy as a Brahman, I'm feeling quite heavy. And this heaviness doesn't give other souls the sense of belonging. The soul can feel burdened. But to me that's an important experience, because the next step is to go from the serviceable soul to become the angel, where it's like I let go all the networks of support, the gross one from the body conscious, even the subtle one within Brahman service. And it's just really my identity as I'm a child of Baba. And it's like the soul really dies alive. And I think that vibration really, where I just feel I belong to Baba, starts to give the fragrance of egolessness, the fragrance of that really the whole world belongs to me. Just like everyone who meets the daddies. I've been amazed when I've seen, you know, people come to Madhavan and not know much about the Brahma Kumaris, and just, you know, peace of mind, we've done it 9 times, and whenever I read the feedback forms, what do you like most, it's always the meetings with the daddies. Because there's a vibration which, that love, that sense of belonging, which deeply touches. And I think that, you know, this is where Baba wants us to go, I think, to really let go and have the courage just to fly like the angel. And, you know, what really are the qualities that make others feel that they belong to me? What are those qualities of the angel? Because in the world, the whole sense of belonging is based on the body, you know. Bodily identity, bodily relationships, bodily religion, all those things. But only those people who have similar bodily circumstances to me feel close to me. Whereas in Brahman life, it's my spiritual qualities which are really the things that start to, you know, create that sense of belonging. And the other night Baba said that the angel is the one who is unlimited. And to me that really means that the more I am in the consciousness of something limited, something body conscious, that's how much I limit the sense of others belonging to me. Belonging, really, the seed is soul consciousness. When I'm beyond all my bodily image, then other souls, in a sense, relate to me. The more I'm caught in my bodily image, other souls really don't relate to me. And you know, someone was telling me recently that Daddy Jenki mentioned in a class somewhere that she said, "I'm not a BK." You know how she loves to say things like that. And it was a really interesting thing she was saying, because there's no more committed and dedicated BK.
But it's like we even have to step beyond that awareness too. Really, who am I? I'm a child of God. I'm a world server. Maybe if I'm really locked into I'm a BK, then maybe there's a subtle vibration to others who are not. I'm just a soul, a child of God. The more I'm in that unlimited state, the fragrance of belonging will be felt by others. And so I think that unlimitedness is a really important step. But also I think, you know, to really create the feelings of belonging, one of the things I find more and more important is the attitude of acceptance. I think acceptance is one of the great forms of service we can do. Not judging others, not analyzing others, not always giving the feeling that you can be something different, accepting others as they are. And I feel that this is real mercy in a sense, because, you know, sometimes even we can see why someone is suffering. We can see why someone's not happy. But even thinking about that doesn't really give the sense of belonging. It's like even I let go that true compassion. It doesn't matter what someone has done, why they are like they are, but I accept you as you are. And I think that is such a powerful feeling which creates belonging. And I remember one Australian sister who was living in New York. I can remember her telling me many years ago. And she had been coming to the center and she was like a television presenter. And once when she was in New York, Daddy Jenky was there and she wanted to go and see her, but straight afterwards she had to do a shoot. She had to go into the studio to do this program. And so when she arrived to meet Daddy, she was dressed up to the hilt. She had makeup all over and sequins all over her face and quite wild clothes on, you know, and she was really nervous. She thought, Daddy won't like me. Daddy will, you know, Daddy will pull my ears. Why are you looking like this? And she was absolutely amazed because Daddy, just as soon as she saw her, her face lit up. She gave her a hug and she said it was like she didn't see that I was, you know, dressed to the hilt. She just saw beyond that. And she said that was such a message to me of what soul conscious attitude is really like. Because once again, so easily the soul can reject itself, but that sense of acceptance makes the soul come closer. And when the soul comes closer, in a sense, the soul becomes open to take from Baba. But also I think, you know, the angel is the one, of course, who gives love. Even Baba said is the one who's loved by all. And I think, you know, there's no more powerful tool in Baba's task than that spiritual love. That spiritual love can heal the most hurt heart, can open a broken heart, can uplift, you know, any heart, I think. It's such a powerful thing. And I always feel that love is the first need of the human soul. When there's experience of spiritual love, then all the desires stop and the soul can really look at Baba. But when there's not the experience of love, that first desire is not satisfied, then the soul builds up so many desires. Desire to be recognized, the desire to be noticed, the desire for this, the desire for recognition. All sorts of desires emerge when that fundamental desire isn't there. And yet, the wonder of the angel really is that the qualification to have that unlimited spiritual love is to be, as Baba said the other night, completely detached. I think even the angel is the one who listens. I think that creates such a sense of belonging too. One of the things I learned from Dadiji, I used to notice that everyone wanted her ear, you know. She's the head of such a huge organization. Everyone loves Daddy. Everyone wanted to speak to her. And you can imagine, you know, how many people just want to have a few seconds. And yet, I always found that when I spoke to Daddy, she gave you complete attention. It's almost like you may only have 1 minute or 30 seconds, but when she listened, she absolutely listened properly. And I think that's also a subtle way of creating belonging, that I respect you, I value you. You know, one sister was telling me just the other day that she's having some problems and she'd been speaking to different people here about it, but still the problem hadn't solved. And she met somebody and that person just listened to her for half an hour, didn't say anything. And she just felt that was such an important thing. She felt heard, and that created a sense of belonging in her too. Even the other night, Baba was saying, just a smile, do you remember? Even that today, I think, just to have a smile on the face, it's like a form of welcoming. It means the door is open. I'm acknowledging you. I value you. It may seem like a lot, but I think we're going out into a world, there's so much sensitivity. The soul has become so fragile. Just the tiny drop and the soul can feel, I don't belong, I feel rejected, I don't feel loved, I don't feel accepted. And so when we carry these attitudes, I think it really helps others really come close. And yet sometimes I think we do still carry some things in me that do give that subtle vibration of not belonging to others. And even Baba talked about it the other night, it's like a heaviness. Sometimes even just my own heaviness doesn't sort of give that light feeling to others. Sometimes it's like a mental heaviness. I feel that mental heaviness comes from critical thoughts and things like that. That vibration doesn't reach others at all. Or even an emotional heaviness where we carry a lot of feelings of all our relationships, all the things going on in my relationships. Well, sometimes even a spiritual heaviness, which I feel is like the karmic story. It's sort of sitting in the soul, and I sort of feel weighed down by it. And it's like Baba wants us to become the angels of lightness. And as such, I think what I've noticed in my life, that sometimes, even unconsciously, there's attitudes and behaviors that don't make other people belong. And one of them is just even the attitude of disapproval. I think sometimes we don't even realize when I'm disapproving. You know, sometimes someone is following Brahman life, maybe 90%, but 10% they're not. Sometimes my vision goes to the 10%, and this subtle vibration of disapproval or judgment. And the soul moves away, the soul just doesn't feel close at all. And so I think really to be careful that I don't get caught up in that sort of, that sense of disapproval, that vibration of disapproval, because that doesn't mean that hearts can come close. And even I remember one of the things which I've heard Daddy Jenki mention about many times, which I find quite interesting myself, is she talks about how we carry stains on our memory track. And if you imagine that, as they say in sort of Hindi, the chit is like the memory track, and it's like the whole part is laid in the memory track. And what happens is that sometimes people do things, and I record impressions, sometimes positive, but sometimes negative. It's sort of recorded on my memory track. Their behavior, their actions, it's sitting there. Now, as Brahmins, Baba says, children have good wishes for everyone. So we say, okay, Baba, I'm having good wishes. And you know, and sometimes we say to Baba, well, Baba, I've given this soul so many good wishes, but just nothing happens, you know. They just don't respond, you know. We put it on them. But sometimes in my conscious mind I feel I'm having good wishes, but in my unconscious mind I'm like looking through the filter of all those stains in the memory track. You know, it's a sort of a subtle filter over that I'm looking through towards that soul. Their history, their past is in front of me. And so they get that subtle vibration and they don't really feel close. Or sometimes even my good wishes are a bit patronizing. It's like I say to them that, you know, well, you know, you are a bit like that, but, you know, I'll have good wishes for you anyway, you know. We just don't realize that it's actually a little bit patronizing, a little bit arrogant where I'm coming from. And just to have such cleanliness of feelings so that when my vision, when I'm looking to another, they get that cleanliness of feeling because it will invoke the sense of belonging in a natural way. If the feelings are passing through a filter of their history or their behaviors or the assumptions I've made about their behaviors, then they don't get that deep, clean feeling from me, which really uplifts and makes them belong. And I've seen the example of this. I remember there was one soul living in a center, and she had been labeled as a problem. You know how sometimes when there's a common vision that someone's a problem, and that's how she behaved perhaps. And then she moved to another center, and the instrument soul really had a good attitude towards this person. I just couldn't believe how different she was. And I just realized that often, you know, our vision, they often say, you know, as the drishti, so the srishti, as my vision, so the world. When I see someone as a problem, almost they dance to the tune of my attitude. And if I change my attitude, that in itself is like giving support for the soul to begin to grow. And sometimes even those things that I was touching on before, that unconsciously sometimes, especially in the family, we are a family, and when we know that in the subconscious of souls is sometimes this sensitivity to not belonging, and we sort of arrange things and some are involved and some aren't involved, and you know, I include some and exclude others, sometimes, you know, this can really form of control sometimes, that we think, well, I include those who cooperate with me, I include those who agree with me. You know, that sort of, it's a very sort of controlling behavior. Whereas Baba, I think his view is that all are my children, and Baba really accepts everyone in that way. Even just like the feelings of preference, I prefer you to you. You know, all these are subtle sort of attitudes which sometimes crush feelings of belonging. Sure, I have to become aware of my attitude, but at the same time, if I have these feelings sometimes of not belonging, feeling a bit left out, feeling rejected, I actually have to do something about it. Because often the human nature is to blame the one who becomes the instrument for my feeling, rather than realizing it's a sanskara that's been laid in my memory track for a long, long, long time. And you know, so it emerges that just so simply sometimes someone is asked to do something and I just feel, because I wasn't asked, that they don't like me, you know? I take it as a message, they don't like me. Such subtle things like that. Or someone else is praised and so they don't say anything about me, but I maybe take it that, you know, my sanskara starts to work and I start to feel, oh, perhaps they don't like me as much. Sometimes we're deceived by this sanskara which sits in my subconscious. And this is why I think that if we have that habit or this feeling that emerges, I've really got to start to work on it and bring change in it, because it really influences the quality of my relationship, not only with the Brahman family, with even Baba too, because when I feel a bit rejected from the family, I even feel at a distance from Baba, in a sense too. It's hard to feel close. And I just think that's what Baba's really trying to emerge in us. Because if you look at the world at the moment, you know, look at the world. How divided is the world at the moment, you know? It's just, we can see all groups of people rejecting each other. You know, religions rejecting each other, cultures rejecting each other, you know, families rejecting each other. Even within a family, there's just such an atmosphere of rejection. And Baba's really saying to us that we have to become the angels of belonging and create, no matter who it is who comes in front of me. And I had a great example of this recently during the interfaith retreat, because it was like representatives of the whole tree came to Madhuban, and quite senior representatives of all the major faiths. And yet there was such a feeling of being a family. And I feel just the spiritual love and the attitude of the Brahmin family of just, you know, not carrying the arrogance of who I am and who you are or that vision, but, you know, really you are a brother, and that vision of respect creates such a sense of belonging. It melts hearts and souls really come close. And we need so much courage that even when we go to places where we're rejected because we are a BK, people immediately make assumptions about us. We've got to still show them that sense of belonging, because I think, you know, show them respect and not react to that. I had an experience many years ago when I had to do a radio interview, and there was a, I think it was when Daddy Prakashmani was coming to Australia. And I did a few radio interviews, but there was one man who interviewed me who was quite sort of famous in Australia as, you know, how would you call them? I think the term is shock jocks, you know, like, and famous for, you know, being very, very, very controversial. And anyway, I was a bit innocent. I really didn't know much about him because I'd never really heard what, you know, he was doing on his program. But he began to interview me, and he asked me what meditation was. And before I'd even got three words out, he sort of started to say, you know, do you know what I think meditation is, Charles? He kept calling me Charles. He says, you know how I meditate? I drink a bottle of scotch and, you know, and drop a few pills and do this and that. And then he started to ask, you know, about Daddy coming to Australia. He said, why are they coming here? You know, how many Rolls Royces does she own? And, you know, why don't they fix up India before they come here? All this sort of stuff, you know. And I'm telling you the mild part of it too. It was so aggressive, you know, incredibly aggressive. And I'm not very good at defending myself in those sort of circumstances. So I sort of laughed along and just kept talking, and then suddenly he stopped after, and he was quite abusive really, and he suddenly stopped and he said, well, Charles, I've abused you, I've insulted you, I've criticized you, and you haven't reacted, so maybe there is something in this meditation. So he was just leading me on, you know. We say, you know, like we say, oh, meditation helps you become stable and these sort of things, because we do come in front of people who will reject us, but it's like our vision of the soul, our vision of respect, I think our vision, that vibration of belonging, I think is just such a wonderful fragrance to spread around the world, and even especially in the family. Because the Brahmin family, my experience is, you know, when we, perhaps it's a sign. Anyway, I was just saying that sometimes I think, you know, it's an interesting thing that it's easy to show compassion and love and respect for people I don't interact with on a regular basis, you know, the souls of the world. But sometimes the souls I live with, the souls I interact with on a regular basis, that to me is a true test of my sense of
compassion? Can I still have compassion and respect? And sometimes in the Brahman family, of course, there's a variety. And I think as the family grows, the variety increases. And that's where even that attitude of acceptance, because some souls will dance the tune of my sanskaras and some won't. But actually, I've got to learn to get on with everybody. And in a sense, this shows my purity, and this will show also my sense of, you know, that everyone can belong to me, no matter what variety of person. And I think that's what Baba was saying now in these final scenes of the drama, and the drama's moving so fast that, you know, I have to become that angel which has such an unlimited attitude. And even the souls, they won't become Brahmins, but they just have such a feeling from the angels. And I think Daddy Janki was saying this morning that one of the interesting things about angels is that they belong to all religions. It just shows the Brahmins in their highest stage of making everyone feel they belong were accepted by all the religions last cycle. So that's the part we have to play. I think my heart has to be so big, has to be so generous. You know, and that's to me, you know, spirituality is that unlimited attitude. I think that's something which is really special. Anyway, we've just had traffic control. So I just wonder, I'm not sure what happens, whether there's... Do you usually have questions at this time, or is there any time for questions? Okay. As far as I heard, the question was that, you know, if you're in a situation and there's an extreme karmic account with a particular individual, should you move away? Is that right? If I said yes in some cases and no in other cases, is that sitting on the fence too much? Because I think it does depend. I think Baba's way always is to stay where you are and change. That is really Baba's way. But if there's a point where I just don't feel strong enough to deal with this particular thing and it's really deeply distressing me, maybe a break to regain strength is better. But ultimately, I think Baba's way is always that situations are there to reveal to me what I'm really like. And, you know, and I think that, you know, quite frankly, a few times I've learned that some of the souls that you feel maybe you have the strongest accounts with are the souls you're closest to. Have you ever noticed that? And I've seen a few times that some of the souls that you feel this strong thing, after a while, when that account lessens, you become the closest of close friends. It's quite remarkable. It can happen. Because relationships have many hidden secrets. There's like different types of accounts in one relationship. There is the account of love and respect, but there is the account of negativity there too. Initially, there may be love and respect. As familiarity comes, the negative side of the account emerges. But if the souls have gone after a while, that recedes, you know, and often that opens out to a very, very loving relationship, because we've changed the form of the account through my relationship with Baba and the strength of Gyan. But sometimes it really needs patience, because there are some accounts that can be really strong. But in my personal experience, usually, I even remember once there's a story about a guru who lived in Paris, and I forget his name at the moment, and he had an ashram, and in the ashram there was a cook who was working in the kitchen, and no one could get on with this chef. No one could get on with him. He was so difficult. And he was also unhappy being there because people were criticizing him, and in the end he left. And this teacher followed him and asked him to come back and come back into the kitchen. And when the rest of the members of the ashram heard that he had invited this chef back, they got so upset, and a whole delegation went to meet the guru saying, "We don't want him back." And so the guru said, "Well, you know, why did I ask him back?
I'm your teacher, but he is also your teacher. He's probably even your greater teacher. Because, you know, sometimes there's no doubt that are we just going to live a life within our comfort zone, that we only live around people that make us feel very good? It's never going to happen. Actually, the people who challenge our other sanskaras, if we have the right approach, we can use them to learn about ourselves and change. We all know this theoretically, but sometimes, you know, I often feel, for me, that one of the great lessons which has changed me is good wishes and pure feelings. Because what I've really realized about good wishes and pure feelings is that it's not so much to improve a relationship. It is that. But it's to protect my yoga. Because once I get caught in the defects and the issues of another soul, where does all my yoga go? It's almost like I become obsessed with this person. Can I remember Baba? When I have good wishes, I clear those feelings. It frees me to actually have a connection with Baba. Otherwise, I just get so pulled by this person's behavior. I just can't get it out of my mind. And therefore, I can't even remember Baba at the time. And that's why I think, to me, when I can have good wishes and pure feelings, it's clearing all these accounts which otherwise pull me away from Baba. And that's the real reason we have good wishes and pure feelings. It actually is the seed of having very strong connection with Baba. Did anyone else have anything they want to mention or ask? Okay. Well, I'm leaving in about an hour. So, so this morning I was telling Prakash that I was leaving, so he said I should bring all my bags on the stage with me too. But anyway, it's really been a lovely time for me. This is the beauty of translation. It's there's delayed jokes that go around the room. I've been here nearly 5 weeks, and I have one beautiful blessing that because I usually come at the beginning of the season for peace of mind, I'm usually the first double foreigner to arrive here with the first couple. So we were here and we had peace of mind, and that was really touching because I think that really, really touched many souls, including our sister here from Poland, who's still here, becoming a permanent resident. And then we had the interfaith, which was also a special experience. Like I said, people from such differing backgrounds coming together like a family, and that was a wonderful experience. And then there was a lot of meetings, and sometimes some people say to me, oh, I feel so sorry for you being in all those meetings. But I must be honest, I never think of them as meetings. I think of them as good company because, you know, sometimes sharing the meetings with, you know, the Mahini Ben and Jenti Ben, Dr. Numa and so on, I enjoy that. You learn a lot. Daddy Jenki is often there too. And then Baba's meeting, and now it's time for me to go. And so it's really been a lovely time, but this afternoon I'm going to Ahmedabad and flying late tonight from Ahmedabad. So I think that's about it. So actually, perhaps if we just finish with a few minutes of meditation.